Never be afraid to raise your voice for honesty and truth and compassion against injustice and lying and greed. If people all over the world would do this, it would change the earth. And this week's opening quote comes from William Faulkner. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour.
The concept of good and evil is something that even when looking at this control mechanism, there's a propensity for us to look at the mechanism itself and not what lays behind the mechanism. You know, we're given all sorts of things to point our finger at. We can point the finger at anything we want. We can construct a relatively good presentation to prove it to anybody what we want. But is it necessarily true, and is that necessarily what should be the point of focus? I think really, you know, if we look at the Freemasons, we look at the Jesuits, we look at the Vatican system, we look at whoever you want to look at, you find that there is actually something behind that. And what that is really an all-pervasive evil that exists in this world. And what is really wrong with us is our inability to see this and our need to follow orders and to not listen to our moral compass in our actions. I've talked about this so often on the show for so many years, but someone who has done a great deal of work on this, I think actually outstanding work in this field and brought some very, very relevant information to people, is Mark Passio. And it's actually my pleasure to have Mark on the show today to discuss some of these things and some of the concepts that he has about this, and generally the state of the world today and where Mark sees us going. Welcome to the show, Mark. Nice to have you on, brother.
Max, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I've actually wanted to have you on for a while. It's sort of difficult for us both to catch up with each other, both being quite busy. But what do you think about this, Mark? I mean, the state of the world today, really, we're given so many rabbit holes to go down. And I've been asking people to maybe pull their heads out of their rabbit holes a little bit and just focus on what's going on around them. And the point that if we were to change our moral compass and simply to do the right thing in all that we do, we wouldn't even have to construct a new system. It would have to change around us if we could find this within ourselves to do this. What do you think about that sort of a concept?
I think it all comes down to the difference between right and wrong behavior and pretty much nothing else. And that has a lot to do with the way children are raised and with parenting and whether parents are doing a good job communicating a proper set of moral values to their children. And I don't see that being done. I see quite the opposite being done. I see value as being only having to do with the monetary system being taught to children. I see obedience taught to children. I see respect for authority being taught to children. But I see very little in the way of true moral values and the communication of the true difference between right behavior and wrong behavior being ingrained, especially in the young. And therein lies the problem. When children aren't taught these values, they grow into adults who don't care about those values and then ultimately have children of their own, and the cycle is perpetuated. And I don't see a lot of progress being made in this regard. I see some people waking up to it and learning it, but I consider that they are in kind of small, isolated pockets. They have an ability, though. They have the potential to become teachers and purveyors of this information if they develop the will to move forward and speak out on their own and become teachers in their own right. And help others to learn what they are doing that's wrong, that's ultimately creating a lot of chaos and suffering in our world by choosing behaviors that are not aligned to right and are not aligned to natural law.
That's the problem, really, isn't it? Stepping outside natural law and being adherent to legislation, the laws that they give us and claim that they are laws. And these laws, so-called laws, are always causing us to step outside our moral compass. It's incredible. Like something I was saying the other day, really, when you look at it, Black's Law, the whole book, Black's Law, essentially it isn't a law book. It's a grimoire. It's a book of spells. It makes people believe that you have to do what these words say, no matter how much it makes you step outside of your morals, and no matter how much pain you inflict on others to support these rules. It's a really, really bizarre thing.
That's right. You know, how I define natural law is the inherent dynamics of consequences that are built into the universe for the behaviors that beings with the capacity for conscience choose. So, you know, conscience is the knowledge of the difference between right behavior and wrong behavior. Then we have to exercise our free will to choose the right behavior over the wrong behavior. And when we do that, and we make the right decision, there's a certain set of consequences that go into effect in the real world, and that is called order. And when we ignore our free will to choose rightly, and we make a conscious free will decision to do wrong behavior instead of do what we know to be right, and we all inherently really deeply understand what it is to be wrong and therefore not to do that to other people, and yet we always make justifications for why it's fine for us to do that because of something we needed or some situation we wanted or some situation we wanted to avoid. You know, when we choose these wrong behaviors instead of the right ones, we have another set of consequences that come down on us through the natural world, and that's called chaos. That's called slavery, and that's where we're at right now. We're at a place where so many people in the aggregate numbers in society have chosen immoral behavior over moral behavior that we are in a position of chaos and slavery as a result. And people don't understand that the causal factors of this are not just you know, some elite group that is running things. It's all the immoral people who conduct the sick, psychopathic, twisted bidding of this psychopathic ruling class and don't care whether their behavior is not aligned with right or not. And they're just order followers who are going along to get along, doing what they're told, ignoring all the moral consequences that go with choosing this immoral wrong behavior, and therefore creating more and more suffering and chaos in the world unconsciously, not even really understanding how they are choosing this behavior unconsciously, and then unconsciously receiving the unwavering invariable result of that behavior that is a law that must come down to us. That's what karma really is, folks. You know, it's, you know, this idea of karma that if you do good things happen, and if you do bad things happen, is legitimate. It is real. It really is quite that simple, and it works just like that in the aggregate in society. I call it the law of freedom, to simplify it. Natural law to me is moral law. I'm not talking about the law of the jungle. I'm not talking about be the most ruthless and you'll come out on top. That's not natural law. That's what Darwinists, who are scientific, you know, macrobiological Darwinian theorists, call the quote-unquote natural order. There's nothing natural in that, and it can never result in order. I'm talking about a set of moral laws that exist inherently in the universe that brings to us the consequences of the behaviors that we choose, whether they are in alignment with right or wrong behavior. And, you know, people have to understand that this is what is ultimately the causal factor of what we are receiving in our lives. This is the natural law, the moral law is really the only law that there is. It's the only thing that is the causal agent of what we are experiencing in life. I call it the law of freedom. As an entire society becomes more moral, that society becomes more free. And as a society becomes more immoral in the aggregate, that society becomes more enslaved. So if you make the connection that we are an enslaved society, that we are an enslaved species, and you understand how freedom is dying in the world, you have to understand, if you are conscious in any way, that that is directly related to the overall morality of the people in that society in the aggregate sense. As more people are immoral, the society is more enslaved. As more people understand conscience, understand the objective difference between right behavior and wrong behavior, the society will invariably become freer and freer as more people choose right behavior over wrong behavior. So if you make the connection that we are basically, our freedom is dying and we are becoming more enslaved and we are going in that direction, you have to understand the causal factor for that is because, as a whole, we are making immoral choices rather than moral ones.
Very, very well said. And we are. The thing is, we're trained to do it, like you say, through the education system. You know, it's really interesting the way they've set it up. You know, you've got these religious institutions which apparently preach love, although there is an undertone which would appear to be something very different. But you've got this whole concept of preaching love and tolerance, and then you go into the education system, you're trained to respect authority, and you get ostracized if you think outside the box, and then you're trained to function within the business world, and the business world is essentially a sociopathic system. You know, you've got to be a sociopath, you've got to be ruthless, you've got to claw your way to the top, and we place an economic value on everything. You touched on that before, you know, and need to support this economic model. I've spoken about this for so many years, Mark, and I don't know why people can't see it, that this economic system is basically the glue that holds the whole thing together, you know, and it's our need to support this economic model, which we put this above everything else, above our morals, above everything, you know. And you've got to ask, what is it that causes people to step outside their moral compass so willingly? Even police officers who often join the force because they want to do good, suddenly they're doing the most horrendous things for people. And sometimes they're even receiving counseling because, I know, why did this person push me so far that I had to do that to him? But they never ask themselves the question, why did you do it to him in the first place? What caused you to believe that doing that was doing the right thing? You know, getting through this, I mean, what is it, do you think, that causes people to think in this way and to believe they're doing right when they're doing something so obviously wrong?
Well, it's obviously because they're not being taught that there is a 100% objective code of morality that is unwavering and is not morally relative. Moral relativists believe that they can ultimately get to make the decision about whether something is right or wrong, and that that could change with time or place or circumstance. And they are 100% opposed to even considering the notion that if a behavior is something that hurts or harms someone else, you shouldn't take it regardless of what the circumstance is. If you are harming their rights, their life, their property without any right to do so. And, you know, a lot of people, as they say, have good intentions. They're well-intentioned. And a lot of people want to make excuses for the well-intentioned and say, well, he had his heart in the right place. He had his mind in the right place. He wanted to do the right thing. But ultimately, here's what he chose to do, or here's what she chose to do instead. And there's all these excuses and justifications offered for why order followers somehow have good intentions but end up doing harm. And I think that's the whole problem with our society, is we're letting people slide entirely too much. We won't get up in their face and tell them that what they're doing is wrong. We're timid and afraid. We don't want to be harsh critics of their behavior. You know, we're afraid of what our friends and family might think if we speak out like that. And say, it doesn't make a difference what your intentions are. You need to know what rights are. The end. You need to know whether a behavior is a right or a wrong. And again, I keep going back to this and explaining to people, the reason that we're losing our rights is we don't know what they are. How many people in the world, if you just stopped someone on the street and asked them, can you please define a human right for me, would be able to give the correct definition? And people will say, well, is there a correct definition? Yes, there is. There is absolutely a correct definition of what a right of a human being is. A right is a behavior taken by a human being that does not cause harm to another sentient being. Period. That's the definition of a right. That's the correct definition of a right. And how many people on the street would be able to spit back that definition? If asked, would be able to offer the correct definition for what a human right is? I would tell you it's probably less than 1% of the human population, and I'm probably being exceedingly generous with that estimation. And if people don't know what their rights are, do you think that they could protect something that they don't even know what it is? Do you think that they can preserve something that they don't even understand what it is? No chance. The overwhelming ignorance for what people know of as rights, or as the difference between objective right and wrong behavior, is staggeringly ignorant. The ignorance is appallingly monstrous. And I don't see it really getting any better because of the education system and because of the so-called value system that parents are teaching their children. They're teaching them money's all that matters, having a job is all that matters, because, you know, if you want to succeed in life, you have to have money, you have to have a job, etc. They're not teaching people that to be a true success in the world, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter what kind of job you have, it doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, how much money you have in the bank, what kind of car you drive, what kind of clothes you wear, or any other ridiculous set of measures that we so-called measure success according to. The main reason that anybody is successful or unsuccessful at human life is how much they know about whether the behaviors that they are choosing are right or wrong, and how much they are aligning their behavior to the right over the wrong. And if you gauge human success like that, the vast amount of people in this world are appalling failures at life, at human life, if that is the gauge for the success of a human being in life, whether they have learned the difference between right and wrong behavior, and then they have acted by choosing the right behavior over the wrong behavior. And if you gauge our whole society according to that measuring stick, we are a complete failure as a race of people, unfortunately.
Well said, Mark. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Mike. We ask these questions and you go at it like a bull at a gate, but it's just the blatant truth. It's just the blatant truth. It really is. Like, even with the so-called independent media and the so-called awakened community, what do you see the current state of this so-called awakening, Mark?
What awakening? There is no awakening happening. People who are aware of the symptoms. And that's not an awakening.
Exactly.
That might be the first stage of it, but that's almost like just starting to be aware that you're sick.
That's what I've been saying as well. You know, a lot of the things that people are addressing as problems, they're not. They're symptoms of systemic corruption. You've got to look at why the systemic corruption exists. It exists because we allow it to exist, because we don't operate within our moral compass.
And mostly because we are raising children. Adults in the world are raising children with absolutely no moral value system. They're teaching them that the value system of the world is money instead of morals, money instead of right behavior toward other human beings. And as long as money is the measuring stick of a society's success instead of whether the society is moral or not, all you are going to create in that society is chaos, suffering, war, death, and slavery. And that's what we have in the world today. And that's the underlying reason. And the reason I say there's little to no awakening happening is because how many people, when they look at all the problems of the world, deeply in their own mind and can fully cognize it and even explain it to other people, understand the causal factors of all of that suffering. Why is it happening? It doesn't matter that someone can recognize that something is happening. People will say, oh, everybody knows that there's problems in the world, and so there's a big awakening happening. Nonsense. That doesn't mean that there's an awakening happening. The awakening would be the result of understanding the causal factors of the occurrences that are happening. And when you understand the causal factors, then you're in a position to not only make the diagnosis about what's wrong, but to treat the problem from the underlying causal factor level of the problem instead of trying to treat the symptoms. And when we do that, what would happen in a society in the aggregate that deeply understood the moral causal factors of why they were going into bondage, why they were going into chaos, why they were going into slavery, would be to stop doing the behaviors that are wrong. And as a result, here's what you would see. You would see a worldwide mass exodus from all forms of government institutions and all forms of police and military institutions. That's what would happen in an awakening world. An awakening world would be abandoning the systems of domination and control in the world. It would be abandoning the systems that are creating all of the disease, death, and suffering in the world. You would see people walking away from corporate structures that do harm to other people and exploit other people. You would see people walking away from government and any government support, okay? Not even working in ancillary positions in government, okay, to push paperwork for government. The people who are collecting taxes would quit their jobs. People who joined the military would no longer join, or would, if they're involved, they would leave. People in police forces would refuse to follow out the commands of the politicians who say that they are the law writers and will make laws for people. And they would step away from being the enforcers of man's law instead of people who understand and live moral law, that is the law of creation. And that's what an awakening world would look like. And that's what people say. Mark, when are you going to say that people are waking up and an awakening is happening? And I give them the same criteria. I would say that a worldwide awakening is happening when police and military are quitting their jobs in such large, overwhelming numbers that it would be the top story in every mainstream media outlet. Why are there no one joining the police force or the militaries of the world, and why are people leaving them and there's hardly any numbers to do these jobs? That is when Mark Passio will go public and say, ladies and gentlemen, a worldwide mass awakening of planet Earth is occurring. And not a minute until. Because that would be the criteria for when it is actually happening. That we would be moving into an anarchic world. A world with no masters and no rulers. Once people start doing that, because the order followers, who are the strong arm of the masters and rulers, self-appointed masters and rulers of this world, these psychopathic, pedophile, satanic lunatics who are running the world, those people who are there acting as their strong arms, following their orders, if they stopped doing what they were doing and no longer took orders from these people, that's when I would tell you that the world is awakening. Does anyone see that that is what is occurring in the world? Can anyone make that statement and not be completely full of crap? Okay? Cannot be completely lying to themselves by making that statement. That is the criteria for a massive planetary awakening. And not, there's no other real criteria for it. Until that behavior is being conducted, I really don't even want to listen to anybody telling me that an awakening is taking place, because I don't accept it. I don't buy it. I don't accept it. I think people telling people that a big awakening is happening is a pipe dream, and it's blowing smoke up their rear end, making them think that the work is done. The work is not only done, it hasn't even begun. It hasn't even started. Just starting to cognize these things intellectually is the very beginning of the process. Whether somebody is doing the great work to try to awaken the planet to that level is how many people are you trying to convince and influence to quit their job in a control position? How many police and military members are you talking to say, stop doing the bidding of these worldwide satanic pedophiles, the satanic pedophilic cult that is running the world? Quit your cult. Quit your job. It doesn't matter whether you can't feed your family. Quit your job and let your family go hungry. Get another job. Scrape by and scrounge and be poor if you have to. See, that's the difference between me and those people, Max. I don't care if I die penniless, face down in the gutter, in the street. I'm not cooperating with evil. That's awakened. That's what awakening is. No less than that. It doesn't matter whether I'm dying. It doesn't matter whether you take my life. You're not getting me to cooperate with your sick, twisted, satanic agenda. That's what an awakened being behaves like. Okay? So I'm not doing that job no matter what happens to me. Torture me. I'm not cooperating. See? Torture anybody I know. I'm not cooperating. Is that extremist? That's total extremity. That's what an awakened being is like. They have become a total extremist for the good. A total extremist for what is right. See? And how many people would do that? Oh no, I have a family to feed. I don't give a damn. How's that? Does that sound cold and harsh enough to you? I don't care what your personal agenda is if you are harming other people's rights by what you do. It doesn't matter what your excuse or explanation is. No excuse or explanation should ever be accepted for people who cause harm to other people and think they have a right to do it. And this is the problem, is the good people of the world are too wishy-washy. They don't want to get in anybody's face. They don't want to say it plainly and clearly to other people. I'll say this right to a cop's face. I'll say it right to a judge's face. I'll say it right to a military person's face, and I have. Okay? And this is the problem. People are too nice to other people and don't want to say, you know what? You're an immoral scumbag. You need to stop what you're doing, because what you're doing is wrong. You think it's right, and you are wrong. See, there's this whole new age conceptual notion that we have to always say things in flowery, pretty language that sounds like Tinkerbells, you know? Because the whole problem is people are so brainwashed, they only want to hear pleasant tones. Tonality means more to them than whether something is true or not, or real or not. That's why they get these paid actors, okay, who go and study NLP and how to say something super pretty to somebody. And they're blowing absolute nonsense up your rear end. And they're conditioning your brain to accept absolute nonsense because they speak in sweet, pleasant tones. And they look nice and slick with their three-piece suit on the evening news, you know? But you know what they're feeding you? Total poison for the brain. Total poison for the mind. But people will accept it because, you know what? They look nice and they said it's so nice to me. They must have my interest at heart because they said it's so nice to me. You know? But the person who's trying to explain to you, you know what? You're destroying your soul. Not only are you destroying your soul, you're destroying society. You're destroying other people's rights while you destroy your own by taking this behavior. And because I said it harsh, I said it harshly because I'm just a little bit aggravated that this is what people are choosing to do with the gift of free will. That's an absolutely non-reasonable reaction to see people choosing the greatest gift of creation, free will, to choose right over wrong. And what they're doing with it is they're saying, I want that responsibility. I'd rather try to abdicate that to somebody else, even though I can't really do that in nature. I can only make the claim I'm abdicating my responsibility to choose right behavior over wrong behavior to someone else. I want to abdicate that to somebody else, and you do my thinking for me so that you could tell me what to do, and then I'll just blindly behave. I'll just blindly obey.
That's really one of the problems that we've got. We just do that. We want to be nice all the time. Interesting, when you look up the etymology of the word nice, it actually comes from the Latin not know and ignorant, and later it was in old French was stupid. So basically that's what it's about, is to be foolish, stupid, senseless, and ignorant, careless, clumsy, weak, poor, needy, simple. This is what nice means, and that's our problem, that we're just too nice. But we've reached break time here, so we're going to have to go and have a break. Thanks for joining us on the air today, folks. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with Mark Passio, and we're discussing the state of the world today and the so-called awakening that just really doesn't seem to be happening. And it really doesn't seem to be happening at all, Mark. I mean, even with the independent media, there's a certain level of awakeness, in as much as people are waking up to the fact that there's something terribly wrong, but they're not seeing what they have to do in order to do what you've been suggesting. You know, how do you get the order followers to stop following their orders and the police to stop doing what they're doing if we in society won't choose to step into our moral compass and do the right thing in all that we do and start supporting each other and just stepping away from the system in mass as a society? You'll find the order followers will start breaking ranks. I think a lot of them will start to wake up if that happens. But how do we get this to happen on a grassroots level with people? You know, it's, people are too wanting someone to come along and lead them to safety.
Right.
They're not thinking or realizing that they have to do it themselves. You know, there
That's
isn't
right.
anyone going to come along and give them a new way out. Like, oh, we'll do it this way now. You know, the fact that they even want someone to do that and they need someone to lead them is the problem itself.
That's right. That's exactly right. That is the main problem, is that we don't understand yet that we are the ones we have been waiting for, as the old saying goes from many different mystical traditions. You know, there is nobody coming to rescue us from our own ignorance. Our awakening in knowledge of the difference between right and wrong, which is what conscience is, an awakening in conscience is what we are waiting for. And unfortunately, that happens at an individuated level. It doesn't just happen at a mass level. Suddenly, one day, everybody wakes up and understands the difference between right and wrong behavior. That comes from deeply looking inward at yourself. It comes from really understanding why we are motivated to do the things that we do and why we make wrong decisions regarding what right behavior is. And this, a lot of this comes from a scarcity-based mindset. You know, you say, why don't more people want to step away from their jobs? They're in this fear of scarcity and lack and not having enough. And that comes from the control of the monetary system, which is artificial scarcity. You know, using a representation of something that has real inherent value and using this monetary representation, which is scarce, artificially scarce, to represent real inherent value, which it is not. So when you have that kind of a system that, you know, creates this illusion of scarcity, you're always going to have unnecessary competition and you're going to have a fear-based, scarcity-based mindset where people are very loath to try something different and experiment and walk away from certain things because they're in such fear that they won't have, or what would I do without this, or how would I continue on without this? And that's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that people just won't talk about these issues. They're so afraid of what other people think about them, what their friends think about them, what their family thinks about them. You know, I tell certain members of my family, you have to start talking about this, and they'll say, then people will perceive me the way family members perceive you, referring to me. See, they understand, hey, I talk to other family members about you and your work, and they say, oh, that's weird, that's out there, that I don't know if I can get, you know, talk about or think about that stuff. That requires a lot of reading and knowledge and understanding about what's going on, and, you know, that guy's way out there for me, you know, and they look at, when I tell them, people who are on the verge, and say, you have to start talking about this out in the open to other people, they don't want to be perceived as the black sheep. They don't want to be perceived as the one who rocks the boat, or the one who's a little odd, or thinks differently, or outside the box. See, I say to people in my family and friend circle, who aren't really that very awake, I don't really have many friends who aren't, but family members certainly, okay, I choose not to congregate or gather with a lot of totally asleep or even partially asleep people for the very reason that I want to be around people in my personal life who do understand these issues. So I choose my friends carefully in that regard. However, you know, encountering anybody, whether it be a family member or an acquaintance, you know, that I happen to be around in a social capacity, talking to them about, you know, some of these things, I will say, just step back for a minute and ask yourself this one question. Do you consider that you think like the vast majority of people in the world, or do you think that you think radically different than the rest of the people in the world? And most of them will say, no, I consider that I generally, you know, am like the average person and kind of have the same thoughts and desires and, you know, ideas that most people have. And I say, well, therein lies the problem. The problem is, if think about it just logically for a second. If the result that we have gotten in the world, in a collective sense, is a result of how everybody in the collective reality thinks, and then as a result of how they think behaves, then you thinking and behaving like just about everybody else is the problem, because here's what it has resulted in. And you acknowledge that what it has resulted in is not good and is problematic. That means until you think radically different than the way you think now and think way outside the box from the limited scope of consciousness that you're stuck in, there is no way that you can change the external manifestation. The external manifestation is an unwavering, invariable result of the way the vast amount of people think and behave on a mass aggregate scale. This is another big deception within the New Age community, that only a tiny percentage of people have to change their mind. See, this gets people to think, hey, me and my circle of friends are all thinking like this, so hey, our work is done, we have nothing to worry about, it's in the bag. And it's not the case. The overwhelming majority of people have to change their mind for the world to truly change. See, in small numbers of very committed, active people can instigate a change and can make a tumultuous change happen. See, like in revolutions, this is what occurs. A small number of people get together, understand a basic set of principles, say, this system has to go, and we're going to forcibly overthrow it to push evolution in the right direction. And I don't have problems. I don't really have a moral problem with revolutions like that. As long as they're for the right purpose, as long as they are done to combat tyranny and promote the cause of true freedom, I have no problem with forceful rebellion. The problem with it is so few people have the correct mindset in a situation like that, that on the other side of it, invariably what happens is a new system of tyranny gets set up and put in its place. That's not to say that we should ever take that option off the table, okay? Because I personally do think that the American Revolution and the French Revolution were not like just totally co-opted things like some alternative revisionist historians seem to think that they were. I think that they did a lot of good for the thought process of helping people to understand what freedom actually is. They failed in the long term because not enough numbers moved to that other state of consciousness, and they stayed in the old way of thinking about authority and thinking about, just following other people and following orders. And therefore, new systems of tyranny were set up in place where we had an opportunity to truly change something and make something different come about. It's the same thing with the kind of choice point that we're being given right now. We're being given, in the age of information, a practical gift, unlike anything that's been ever given to humanity. We are given the opportunity to totally expose the satanic pedophilic cult that is running the world right now. And I'm referring to the Pizzagate phenomenon that is starting to break forward in the alternative media. And, you know, we're squandering this opportunity because people are buying all the psyops that go along with it. Okay, they're buying the idea that this is all based on fake news. The mainstream media is coming and putting this narrative out that this is all conspiracy theorists working with fake news coming out of Russia. And the word on the street is that most people buy the mainstream narrative. You know, they're not understanding that what was done through the WikiLeaks emails was to come out in the open with the activities of the cult, that the one big cult that runs the world. So you could give it a billion different names. You could say about all the agencies that work for this big cult. You could talk about all the think tanks that set policy for the big cult. But see, what WikiLeaks and what the Pizzagate scandal did is it attacked right to the heart of the one big cult that runs this planet, okay? Because it went into the world of occult pedophiles, okay? And this is what the people of the world need to understand, that the psychopathic rulers of this world really are. They are a priest class, religious class of people that constitute a dark priest class that have been hiding the most important and valuable information from humanity, or trying to dissuade them from ever looking into that information. All the while, what they are doing is using the control systems of the world to insulate the population from them so that they can never be held to account or brought to justice for the crimes, the vicious, barbaric crimes that they are committing against the people of the world and the children of the world, because these people are child rapists. They are child torturers and they are child murderers. Okay? And folks, if you know anything about my background, I'm telling you this from personal experience, not reading about it in books. Okay? I know who these people are. I don't think I know who they are. I know who they are. And I'm telling you, they are the most vile, evil, twisted, deranged individuals walking the planet, and yet they are some of the most intellectually adept people walking the planet. They have some of the highest guile that you could ever have in a human being. They have total psychopathy, total psychopathic tendencies and behaviors. They don't care about you. They don't care about your rights. They don't care about your freedom. And they have the willpower to get done what they want to get done in secret and in a total collective mindset with each other. They operate as one being on the same page. They have the same goals. They have a similar skill set, and they all work together like a cohesive unit, okay? And when you put a lot of will all together like that toward one goal, you know what? You're a very powerful force to stop. The people who think these people aren't powerful and who don't think that they're still in control, you're naive children. You don't understand your enemy. You don't understand who you're up against. And let me tell you something, folks. In a war, and that's what we're in, we are in a spiritual war, okay? In any war, if you don't know your enemy and your enemy's mindset, your enemy's and your enemy's tactics, you are done before you start. And that's where the people of this world are at. They don't know the battlefield they're on. They don't know who their enemy is. They don't know the nature of their enemy. They don't know their enemy's mindset, which is a religious mindset. People think, oh, the world's run by bankers and politicians. If you think that, you're a two-year-old crapping in your diapers. Okay? That's how naive and stupid someone has to be to think that this is only political and financial, the problem that's going on in this world. This is a psycho-spiritual war that is being waged against the people of the earth by an occult priest class. And people better start understanding this. They better start looking into it. They better start getting it right. And we have a golden opportunity here in the form of this whole Pizzagate scandal to help the population of the world understand who their rulers are, what their mindset is, how they think of them, and how they think of children in the world, their tactics, what they're trying to do to these children, and why. This is trauma-based mind control. This is how they set up a whole new generation of psychopathic controllers. It's a technique that has been used and perfected over thousands of years. And people are still looking at it, and they're in denial of it because their mind is so naive that they can't come to terms with the level of evil that they're surrounded by. And they're saying, oh, no, it can't be that. It can't be that. And they're ignoring it. The vast majority of people are still ignoring it, unfortunately. And this is what saddens my heart the most. People don't have the moral fortitude and constitution to sit and deal with reality as it is. Not how they want things to be. Do you think I want the world to be like this, folks? Do you think this is a pleasant task? Do you think this is something I want to do to come and talk about this? This isn't what I want to be doing right now, folks. This is the unfortunate, unpleasant reality of the world in which we live, period. And the only way you're going to change reality is by dealing with it, not running away from it or ignoring it. So we have a golden opportunity. This is a choice point in the human future. This is a choice point in the human evolutionary development. This is how profound this opportunity is. And you know what people are talking about? Oh, fake news. This could be a possible psyop. No, the psyop is only coming in the form of the people who are trying to tell people there's nothing to investigate here. There's nothing to look into. You shouldn't look into it. You shouldn't talk about it. That's the psyop. That is the psyop when it comes to this. Because let me tell you something. These pedophiles in D.C., they're connected with pedophile rings all over the world. It's a worldwide network. It's not just here in America. It's not just in Washington, D.C. Read the Franklin cover-up, the book by John DeCamp, former Nebraska state senator, who talked about the trafficking of children from Boys Town through the Presidio military base and other military bases in the United States and in funneling them into Washington, D.C. No doubt connected with the owners of Comet Ping Pong and other organizations in Washington, D.C., not just them. See, that's the thing. Everybody wants to make just this one pizza place the focus. Has nothing to do with just that one place. They're part of a wider network. That's why this guy is so influential. You know, this is used for political blackmail. This is used for trauma-based mind control. And it's ultimately used as part of their religion. This has to do with their religious belief system as Satanists. You have to understand who these people are. They're into drinking blood. They're into conducting sick, bizarre rituals with the destruction of the human form. They're a cult of death. They're vampires for all intents and purposes. This is what all the legends of vampires came out of, the understanding of this sick, depraved, psychopathic, satanic cult that's been operating for millennia here on Earth. People have to come to terms with it and start understanding more about the world of the occult. If you still don't understand that the occult lies behind all the other octopus arms of the control system, meaning banking, the media, the school system, the military, the police, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, you know, big food industry, all of that. That's all tied in with this one big occult religion. You know, this is the oldest religion on the earth. This is the religion of death and control. It's a cult of death. That's what people have to understand. They don't want to come to terms with it because their mindset is so naive. It's the mind of a child that's been beaten for too long. And they're saying, no, daddy isn't bad. He, you know, just because he beats me every day of the week, it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It's Stockholm syndrome. It's the mentality of a child who gets beaten daily every day from birth by their parents or by their father. You know, that's the mentality of these people. They're in this state of naivete that the person who claims from day one that they have my best interest in heart can't be this psychopathic monster. You know, a very, very, kind of immature comedy movie that is done very kind of tongue-in-cheek, but has a very powerful allegoric message that I'm going to recommend to help people to understand how this dynamic of truth-telling works is the movie Sausage Party that just came out this year. It's an animated film, and ostensibly you look at it, it's like some ridiculous childish-type comedy, an adult comedy, very vulgar, very sexual innuendo themed movie. Okay, so it's not for children to watch. It's a very adult animated film. However, if you listen to the storyline of the movie, it's all about understanding that we are run by psychopaths, run by monsters that have been told to us from the day we were born are our saviors and our gods, and yet the reality of the situation is they are eating us. They are destroying us. They are devouring us. And when some of the people in the movie try to explain that to others, they are ridiculed for it. And they say, oh, you are the problem because you're trying to tell us that our lives are in danger. See, they try to turn it around onto the person trying to give the warning message. And even the idea that, oh, it's the messenger's fault is even somewhat embedded in the movie. And we have to change the way we're explaining this to people. We don't have to change anything. The truth remains the truth, whether it's shouted 2 inches from someone's ear through a bullhorn or whether it's spoken in the most pleasing terms that you possibly can speak it in. See, this is the problem. The mind control is what is told to us to say, you can only hear the truth when it's pleasant to you. Don't listen to anything that's harsh, disturbing, or trying to shake you out of your comfort zone. See, that's the mind control. If you're one of the people reacting like that, and I still get people saying to me, Mark, why are you explaining it to people like this? Because that's how I choose to. This is my personality, and I'm going to do this how I want. I don't really care if you think that's egoic. That I'm my own person. This is how I have chosen to do it. If you want to do it a different way, by all means, do it a different way and show me how it's done. And when you're super effective and you got thousands of cops to quit your job, I'll genuflect before you and say, well done, sir. Well done, ma'am. But until you're that effective, don't try to presume to tell me how to do what I'm doing. I'm going to do it how I want to do it because I'm doing it. See, that's the difference, folks. All the people who try to tell me, do it like this, do it like this, do it like this, you know what they're doing? That's what they're doing. Nothing. A big goose egg. I get their email addresses, I look up their name online, you know what you find? A Facebook page. And you know what's on their Facebook page? Cat pictures and pictures of their meals. That's what you find. Every time. Yet they're trying to tell someone else how to do it. Backseat driver, armchair quarterback. You know?
Yeah,
it's real easy for them to do that. That doesn't take anything. Yeah.
It is very frustrating. And look, the Pizzagate thing is a huge opportunity. Of course, part of the psyop as well, I believe, is the fact that they've focused so much attention on the pizza store.
That's right.
That the center of attention. And I said, like, just on last week's show, I said, all it's going to take now is for some event at the pizza store, a guy to get shot or commit suicide or whatever, you know, stage whatever. And the next day it happens. Yep. Bang, there it is.
Clearly exactly a false flag. Clearly
absolutely.
A false flag.
Now, yep. Now you've got all the media focused on the pizza store, and yep. They're just seeing it as an attack against a small business due to fake news. Right. So they're going to throw all the pedophile information out with the bathwater. So
they're not talking about
pedophiles. Themselves.
Right. They're not talking about the pedophile code in all the emails from Podesta and all of his cronies. They're not talking about any of that. You know, they're not going to mention John DeCamp. They're not going to mention John Podesta. They're not going to mention Anthony Podesta. They're not going to mention James Alifantis and all the connections to worldwide known pedophiles. You know, they're not going to mention all this code that is known pedophile code. They're not going to mention pedophilic logos on their businesses. Okay? They're not going to mention any of that. How these people are known to have art that celebrates pedophilic behavior and child torture. You know, they're not going to mention any of that. It's all going to be focused on this one place, on this one store, how they're the big victims because some guy with a rifle, with a semi-automatic rifle, came in, and what did he do? Oh, he shot the lock off, tried to shoot the lock off the basement door. As if what? This is some cartoon, right? You walk in with a gun, and you shoot a lock, and what? The gun flies off the door like it does in the cartoon, you know? I mean, no one in their right mind would even behave like that and do something like that, because anybody that knows anything about the mechanisms of a lock or a gun is not going to think, I shoot this lock, and what? The door suddenly swings open? The lock goes flying across the room and the door swings open. I mean, this is Bugs Bunny cartoon stuff for somebody to think that. If you want to open the lock of the door, the first thing you do is take a hostage, hold the gun up against his head, and say, open the lock on that door, your brains are going on the floor. That's how you're going to get the lock open, not shooting the lock. So right there, you automatically know that it's a false flag psyop, you know? And the whole thing they're doing this for, Max, is to try to get the weapons away from the American people. They want to always target the AR-15 semi-automatic battle rifle. Whenever these false flags events are done, this is the weapon of choice because they're all put up to it, these actors, okay? And they wanted this to be similar to the Australian Port Arthur incident, where they have a guy with an AR-15 shoot up a bunch of people, and then they blame it on the weapon, and we have to take all the battle rifles away from out of circulation in the country. So for one specific purpose, so no one can resist tyrannical government coming ahead in the future with a battle rifle, which is its purpose. And it's going to be next to impossible to acquire that right back. But you know what? It's never going to happen here in the United States, because there are 80 million plus gun owners in the United States. That's one out of every three people here. And let me tell you something, there's way more guns than there are even total people in the United States. As a former emperor from the Far East said, or general from the Far East said, we'd never even consider attacking America because there will be a blade there will be a gun appearing from behind every blade of grass. And trust me, that's the case here. That is most certainly the case. It's going to continue to be the case. Americans are never, ever going to forfeit that right. Let me tell you something. As long as there is blood in my veins and my lungs are capable of drawing air, no one is disarming me. No one is disarming my friends. No one is disarming my fellow Americans ever, ever. Because the people who I know, who understand the purpose of those firearms and the purpose of the protection of all forms of arms in the hands of the people, as guaranteed by the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, not that I'm in any way a constitutionalist, I'm an anarchist, but I understand the concept of the Second Amendment is to enshrine the protection of that natural right that already is inherent and pre-existing and self-evident, that we have the right to defend ourselves with whatever arms we choose. This goes to any kind of hand weapon, any kind of blunt instrument, any kind of blade or sword, any kind of flexible weapon, and certainly any form of firearm. This is the second principle in the two sacred principles of non-aggression and self-defense. The sacred feminine principle of don't commit aggression against others, and the sacred masculine principle of self-defense. If violence is being conducted against you, you have an inherent natural right to defend yourself against it with whatever arms are within your ability to use. And that's never going to be given up here in America, and they're going to try and continue to erode that right and or to take it. But guess what? Strides are being made, because in 11 states in this country now, we have full constitutionally protected gun rights where you can conceal a pistol or any other kind of firearm without a permit, which is exactly as it should be. There should be no permit required to carry any form of weapon, because that's an inherent natural right. And as soon as you disarm someone of any weapon, you are making them your slave. And every country that has been disarmed, that the people of that nation have become deeper entrenched in slavery, because they have now lost the ability, through the abdication of that right, to defend themselves from tyrannical government with similar weaponry that government possesses. It's never going to happen here. You're going to get that done in America. Let me tell this to all the other nations of the world. To get that done in America, boys and girls, you better saturate America with hydrogen bombs. That's what it will take. And you won't have any part of any resource at all here, but you're never getting the firearms of American citizens. It will never happen. You better destroy the earth first, because that's what it will take to get the firearms away from the American public. And you want to know what? As vehemently as I am about that, trust me, I'm tame. I know people who make me look tame when it comes to that dynamic. And that's what mountain boys and girls out in the middle of rural America are like. See, I'm a city boy, okay? I grew up in the city my whole life. I've lived in the city my whole life, and I still have that attitude because I'm born right here in Philadelphia. Let me tell you something. You go out to some of the rural places in America where, they call them the hillbillies, okay? Trust me. You want to talk about tough people, and you want to talk about people who you think you're going to take their firearms without bloodshed. Good luck, because I wouldn't try it. I wouldn't try it.
Yeah, so, well said, brother. Well said. You know, one of the biggest problems we've got here is you know, people don't realize that the human race is being farmed. And this is something I've been touching on a lot lately, but it is. We're being farmed. There's a mechanism that exists behind all the mechanisms that they're trying to deal with. They're just not seeing the bigger picture. But that was a great discussion, Mark. Great to hear you ranting like that, and I love your attitude. You're speaking my language. You really are. It's been a pleasure to have you on, but we are a little bit over time, so I'll have to cut it short now.
Absolutely.
But I'll try to get you on again soon, and hopefully I'll catch up with you at the Free Your Mind Conference next year.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great event. Really looking forward to it. Check out my website, folks, whatonearthishappening.com. Tons of videos up there. Tons of podcasts, audio. I tell people always go to the podcast section and listen to it forward in order. You'll get the whole big picture. Check out the gifts section if you want to, order any of that material. It's all up there online. It's up there for free, and it's also up there if you want a hard copy of it. You can get in touch with me through the gift section. So check out the website, whatonearthishappening.com, and also look, forward to the Free Your Mind Conference coming up in April this year. The website for that conference, freeyourmindconference.com. Max, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always great talking to you, and I thank you for the work that you're doing. Always great work, very dedicated, and I thank you for your service to the truth.
Well, thank you, brother. It's an absolute pleasure to have people like you, and be standing up on the front line with you. And yeah, I'll look forward to seeing you there at Free Your Mind. It is a good conference, folks. I was there last year. I got there rather late, jet lagged, but that won't happen again at the next one. So do go. It's a really good gathering of people, really good speakers, and a really good event. So hopefully I'll see you there. That is it for me, folks. We've reached the end of the show. Thank you to everybody who supports my website, thecrowhouse.com. Thank you to all those who support the Patreon account. It is the only thing that keeps this show on the air, so I really do thank you for your support, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. In Lakesh, my friends, in Lakesh.